New economic freedom in India is giving the country the potential of becoming one of the key emerging economies of the next decade. In fact, some analysts are calling India the next China. Mr. Imran Anwar is president of Imran Anwar Incorporated in New York and an expert on India's business environment. He joins us now live on the Money Radio Business Line. Mr. Anwar, welcome to Money Radio.
Hello, Mr. Gamble. How are you?
Fine, thank you, and good to talk to you about this. Let me ask you first of all, because I don't think most folks really are following this as carefully as they should, to say the least. What changes are being made in India that are triggering so much optimism about the future?
Well, the first thing I would like to add here is that it's not just India, but that whole region is undergoing tremendous change right now, and that includes countries like Pakistan and Bangladesh and other countries in the region. India, by virtue of its size alone, of course, is the easiest one to see. And as a whole, these have been the most developing countries in the world with huge population bases. And a lot of the money that these governments have had has gone to non-development expenses like so-called defense and things like that. In the last couple of years, there has been a major change in the sense that the governments have been more willing to open up the economies. And the people have been more willing to let the governments do that, even though there are some short-term painful experiences that go along with such an experience. So it's happening all over the region.
And in India specifically, they are cutting the red tape, aren't they, so that the local, domestic companies at least can do business without, a little more efficiently and with less government intervention.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, one of the things that has been a major turnoff for any kind of foreign multinational going into India or the countries in the region has been the bureaucracy, which is almost like a cancer that these countries have suffered from for the last 40 years. And that bureaucracy and the red tape, that you, as you call it, is something which has hampered not just foreign investment, but has also caused problems for the local businesses in the last 40 years. Fortunately, that has been cut significantly, especially for multinationals, especially for foreign investment, and that process continues.
Is the opportunity to do business in India greatly different now than it was, say, even a couple of years ago, or has it always been there?
No, I would say that, yes, the market has always been there, but right now the opportunities are much easier to take advantage of, significantly easier, I would say.
And what kind of business is going to have the most chance of succeeding in India, at least in the initial stages of Western companies coming into India, Western investment?
That's a very good question. I think at least two or three different kinds of industries have a much better chance, at least at this early stage. And these will be companies which include infrastructure builders, because these countries are lacking in infrastructure. India in particular is very huge, but roads, highways, telephones, all these things are things that have to be put in. Oil companies will obviously be there to take advantage of opportunities. And consumer goods, because these countries have a vast, totally untapped middle-class markets that consumer goods manufacturers could easily exploit.
What does the population of India, and I know, of course, it's not a monolithic population, to say the least, but generally, what is the mood in India as far as American products and American business?
That's a difficult question to answer because, as they say, there's as many opinions as there are people there. Generally, I think people are watching with interest because right now, as the expansion has taken place, as foreign money has come in the growth stage, it's easier to sort of go along with the spirit. It's only when the real time to pay the price of freedom, economic freedom comes, that is when people in protected industries are likely to protest. So right now, people are watching intently, and perhaps this is something which the U.S. and even other Western investors will need to do, is to look carefully, not just jump in, but to watch what the mood in India is. There are three things to look out for. One would be inflation, of course, but the other would be how people continue to perceive the reforms that the governments are carrying out.
Well, you mentioned inflation. Of course, the Indian government has been struggling to try to deal with their economy. How does it set up right now? How much success has the government had?
Well, right now I would say it's not too bad. I think they've done a pretty good job considering what has been happening in the past and what can happen. So I'd say they've done a pretty good job, and it's a very difficult sort of line that they have to. It's a very thin line, fine line that they have to work with, and I think they've done a pretty good job with that right now.
Of course, stability is always one of the keys whenever foreign investors start taking a look at a country, and we certainly have seen that as we have attempted to deal with NAFTA here in the climate of NAFTA. What kind of stability would you assess that the Indian government has at this point?
Well, stability, George, is a relatively different concept in that part of the world. And from what may appear to be instability to the Western investor, maybe just, you know, another day in that part of the world. On the whole, there are a few flashpoints that could cause trouble for the whole region. For example, Kashmir, where India continues to have serious troubles because of its conflict in the territory of Kashmir, which is a disputed territory with Pakistan. And India also has some nuclear concerns that it's addressing, and some problems with China. Now, the likelihood of these blowing up into full-scale wars is not as high as some people in the West would think. However, for the investor, it is something which makes it makes the investor jittery. So right now, I would say that the situation is quite stable. If Kashmir can somehow be addressed, as I believe President Clinton has been trying to do, and if the nuclear issue can be resolved, then you are possibly looking at the biggest market that any industry could ever dream of.
What should an American company know about India before it attempts to do business in India? What are some of the keys there?
Okay, well, a lot of people look at India and Pakistan and Bangladesh, and their images in their minds go back to the advertisements they see or the commercials they see on TV for poor children dying of starvation and things like that. Yes, stuff like that does happen. India has a serious poverty problem. But the middle class is really huge. And when you go in there, it's the same, like the example of nobody wears shoes. This is just an example, I must say. So for a shoemaker, that's the biggest opportunity rather than anything else. So U.S. companies in general have to look for is that you cannot really force values down the throat of any country, especially the size of India. But yes, there is enough homogeneity in the markets across the world that any American product that we use in our everyday life, for example, is easily sellable in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, wherever. It's all an MTV generation out there.
Mr. Anwar, we are out of time, but I want to thank you much. It's been a pleasure to get a chance to talk to you, and hopefully we'll be able to do it again soon.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir. That's, of course, Imran Anwar, president of Imran Anwar, Inc. in New York.